Welcome to From God to Us. We are in our current series called The New Covenant. We have seen that God established a new covenant with Israel and with all of mankind by which God would relate to mankind in a new way, rather than relating primarily through a system of do's and don'ts, of laws. God relates to us, and we relate to God through the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We're currently looking at some of the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit when he would come. And last time, in our last episode, we saw that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come to be within us. He would dwell within us, and he would give us the ability to know things about God, and he would bring things to our remembrance so that we could properly know God and relate to God. Today, we're looking at another passage of Scripture where Jesus talks about what the Holy Spirit is going to come to do, and it's a passage in John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11, and it relates to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people relate conviction with guilt. Guilt is one of those feelings that we all deal with in life. Whenever something goes wrong or we do something wrong, we have feelings of guilt. Everyone has feelings of guilt, and we have to know how to deal with that. Webster defines guilt as the fact or state of having committed an offense, crime, violation, or wrong, especially against moral or penal law, or as a feeling of responsibility, a remorse for some offense, crime, violation, or wrong, whether real or imagined. Or it can be conduct involving the commission of such crimes, violations, or wrongs. So it's this feeling or this state that we have that we know we've done something wrong is generally the way guilt is defined. Guilt, not dealt with properly, can have negative effects in our life. It often leads to shame. And then guilt and shame can lead to emotional disorders, depression, and this ultimately can have impact on our body. So learning to deal with guilt and shame in a proper way is very important. One of our problems we have in life, though, is distinguishing sometimes between guilt and conviction. I think there's a difference between guilt and conviction, or we might say false guilt and true guilt. And our text today is going to help us deal with that a little bit and look at what proper conviction is, conviction of the Holy Spirit, and the kind of guilt that comes from that. And we'll look a little bit at false guilt as well. But we're going to read our passage today. It's found in John 16, verses 5 through 11. There we read Jesus saying these words to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands judged. So Jesus here begins this passage by saying that he's going to leave, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with him. And that the term counselor here we looked at before means counselor or comforter or one who comes alongside. And this is referring to the Holy Spirit several times. He refers to the Counselor or the Holy Spirit as the Counselor or the Comforter. And then he begins to talk about how he comes to convict the world of guilt in regards to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Before we get into the text a little bit more, I want to talk here about, I think, what are three inappropriate types of guilt or false guilt that we might feel. The first one is when I feel guilty over something that I shouldn't feel guilty about. Maybe I'm feeling guilty over something that's really not wrong or really not a sin. Maybe someone else has made me feel guilty, or sometimes people feel guilty because of blessings they have that others don't receive. Many people feel guilt over a mistake. We're not talking about a sin or a wrong or a disobedience, but just a mistake. You make a mistake, and sometimes people feel very guilty over that. And there's no reason to feel guilt over that. If you make a mistake, you correct it. Many people feel guilty about something maybe they think they should have said or should have done. And we're not talking about sins or wrongs, but just things that they think that maybe would have been better thing, something to say or better to do, and they feel guilt over it. There is a neurotic kind of guilt that we often feel for something we have no control over. We feel guilty that something happened to someone else. We see someone else who has experienced a bad thing, and for some reason, people feel guilt over that. They may feel guilt when someone dies. They may feel guilt over someone's suffering. They may feel guilt when something good happens to them. And then the third thing, there's a manipulative kind of guilt, which is imposed upon people by someone else in order to get them to do something that they don't want to do. The way this works is sometimes in the church, we try to make people feel guilty so they'll volunteer to do something in the church. And we say things like, oh, if you don't do this, then the children won't have anybody to lead them. Now, I've never really tried to do that, but I've heard that type of thing before where we use guilt to try to get people to do something. Or maybe it's to feel guilt to obey some kind of legalism, some sort of thing that people have put into place, and they try to make you feel guilty because you aren't doing what they're doing. I think all these types of things are types of false guilt that people impose on themselves or on others to try to change or manipulate, or for whatever reason we have these guilty feelings. These are not the type of guilt that the Bible is talking about here in this passage in John chapter 6 when Jesus talks about guilt. So let's look at that. And I'm going to use the term conviction here because we feel guilt over conviction. And the first thing is that the conviction of the Holy Spirit leads us to an appropriate kind of guilt. From the original language, the word here, the word for convict means to bring to light or to expose. To convict or convince someone of something, or to reprove or correct. And so when this talks about the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world, he's going to expose things. He's going to bring things to light, and he's going to try to bring correction. So he's convicting the world. He's convicting people. And one of the biggest differences here between inappropriate guilt and conviction is that the purpose of inappropriate guilt or false guilt is to make you feel just as bad as possible. And that's why often people do that. They want you to feel horrible. If someone is feeling bad, sometimes they like for other people to feel just as bad as they do. They like to beat people down. This type of guilt beats people down and tries to press them with some sort of harsh feeling of wrongdoing. The purpose of the conviction of the Holy Spirit is primarily reconciliation and restoration. The Holy Spirit wants to bring to light the problem so that you will come back to God. Guilt, false guilt, pushes people away from God. It pushes people away from yourself. It pushes people away from God. Conviction confronts me with my sin so that I will turn to God for help. See, there's a big difference there. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, the proper kind of guilt, is so that we will bring it to God to confess, to ask forgiveness, and to be restored. If we have sinned and truly sinned and we feel guilt, that's a proper kind of guilt, and we should feel guilt. But the purpose is not to make us just to feel as bad as we possibly can. You know, there's people today, Christians today, when someone else sins or does something wrong, they try to just grind them down and beat them down and try to make them feel as bad as they possibly can. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, if it's sin, you confess the sin and you bring it back to God. So the biggest difference here in understanding false guilt and true guilt is that false guilt pushes us away, beats us up, it tears us down. True guilt is for, yes, make us feel bad, but the purpose is restoration, reconciliation, to draw us back to God. And that's the biggest difference, and we need to understand that. So let's look at the three things that the Holy Spirit convicts us of. It says convicts the world. That's all people. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The fact exists that there is sin in the world. People do, in fact, rebel against God. We all do at times. And people do more than just make mistakes. There's a sin that we commit against God, a rebellion that separates us from God. And this is our primary problem. This is why we need salvation. This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need the gospel, is because we have been separated from God. Sin keeps us from becoming what God wants us to be. It keeps us sometimes from salvation because we don't want to confess that sin. We don't want to bring it to God. And when we do get saved, sometimes we're afraid to confess because we're afraid of what God's going to do. But God's working to restore us to our original creative state. And so when we sin, the Spirit convicts us of that. We see that the Spirit is convicting us to bring us back. So he convicts lost people of sin so that they will turn to Christ for salvation. He convicts believers of sin so that they will bring that to God in confession so that they might be restored. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. When we confess, the Scripture says that God forgives us and cleanses us of our sin and places us back in fellowship. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. You see, Satan wants to cause us false guilt, but God is trying to get us to experience a proper guilt so that we will bring that to God. God does not delight in the destruction of the human nature. He wants to restore us, and that is really the purpose of convicting us of sin. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. On the positive side, the Holy Spirit convicts people of what is right and good to do. So he points out sin and the wrong things, but he also points out that which is good and right. The Holy Spirit leads us to do what God desires. He shows us what is right. He shows us what we should do. He demonstrates righteousness for unbelievers so they will see how far they have fallen from God and turn to God. And he draws them back to himself. The Holy Spirit convinces believers of what God wants them to do. You see, somewhere deep inside every believer is a desire to do what God wants. And somewhere within our hearts, there's the desire for righteousness. And the Holy Spirit begins to convict us of that and show us that. So when we are living and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, he stirs our hearts for what is good and holy and righteous according to God. And when we are convinced and led by the Spirit to do something, then our response is to follow through and to do that. The Holy Spirit is convincing us and convicting us of that which is right. So the negative sides, he convicts of sin. The positive side, he convicts us of righteousness, so we know what to do. The third thing is he convicts us of judgment. God is the only right and supreme judge of people. Satan has no right to judge people, and we should never listen to him. Satan wants us to feel falsely judged or falsely accused, and he wants us to falsely judge others. He wants us to think that we're as good as God. We know how to judge people. Satan has already been judged by God, and we should never listen to him. Therefore, we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit so that we can distinguish between correct and false judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, we read, "Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, this doesn't mean we should never confront some with sin, but the emphasis here, Jesus is saying, look at your own self first. Be very careful how you judge other people, because the way you judge people is the same way you're going to get judged by other people. So be very careful. And before you do judge, examine your own life first, because you might have a greater sin than the thing you're pointing out in another person. And in fact, the thing you may be judging other people about, you may already have in your life too. So be careful. Examine yourself first before you ever take the opportunity to judge someone else. Why? Because God is the only right and supreme judge of people and of humanity. When we judge, we often don't know all the information or all the circumstances. We make judgments about incomplete information quite often, and we need to be very careful about those kind of things. Sometimes it's appropriate for Christians to confront other Christians about sin, but we must do it very carefully, as what Jesus is teaching us here. He is the only one who has the right to judge what is sin and what is not sin. Back in Mississippi, when we went to a church we attended, a small Baptist church, and there was a lady in the church who was very prominent, did lots of things in the church, very faithful in serving, but she was also known as the local community gossip. If you wanted to know any juicy news on anybody, you just went by her store to buy something and you stood around for just a little while. Sooner or later, you'd get your earful. And she was always talking about all these things that everybody in the community did, and she knew everything. And she would talk about all their sins and the things that people did. What she didn't realize is that gossip itself is a sin. And so we're like that too sometimes. We talk about other people, ignoring the fact that what we're doing is gossip. And you see, we need to inspect our own lives first before we begin to judge other people. So this is what the scripture tells us, what Jesus tells us about the issue of conviction. There is a conviction that is appropriate, that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives, and we need to be responsive to that. So I'd like to wrap this up a little bit by talking about how do we respond to feelings of guilt. We all feel guilty at times. How do we respond to that? The first thing we need to ask is, are my feelings of guilt over sin? Is it really a sin? You know, we have to be honest with ourselves now. If we have sinned, we don't want to just call it a mistake. We have to be honest and say, what does the scripture say? Is this guilt an appropriate guilt that the Holy Spirit is convicting me of? If so, we need to bring it to God in confession, receive his forgiveness, and to be restored. And if it's not, then we need to not feel guilty over something that's not a sin. Another question we can ask is, someone else wrongly making me feel guilty? Am I being judged by someone else's legalistic system? What does the scripture say? Am I being manipulated? Sometimes we need to figure out whether or not, if it's not sin, what's causing the guilt. Sometimes this is often brought upon us by other people inappropriately. Third thing we ask, is the Holy Spirit leading me to do something? Okay, so if it's not sin, maybe I feel guilt in a sense, or conviction in the sense that there's something that I need to do that I'm not doing. And so the Holy Spirit is leading me into doing something. Is the Holy Spirit giving me some desires to do something? Do I have the gifts in this area? Am I feeling a sense of dread of doing this, or is this something that God is leading me into? And so sometimes we have to evaluate that thing when we are feeling led into doing something. This may be the Holy Spirit saying, you haven't been doing yet what I want you to do. And so we need to ask those questions. Sometimes, you know, do we just make a mistake? We often feel guilty over mistakes we make. And okay, if you made a mistake and you need to apologize to someone, do so. Or maybe you just need to forgive yourself, because everybody makes mistakes. It's nothing to beat ourselves up over, so we need to make that distinction, whether or not it's just a mistake. A mistake is not a sin. Sin is something we do against God. Mistake is just something that all humans make. Finally, we have to look at, is this something beyond my control? Am I feeling guilty for something that's absolutely beyond my control? We don't need to feel guilty about that. If you can't do anything about it, guilt doesn't help anybody. And so we need to evaluate that and say, is there something that I can do? If not, it's something we shouldn't feel guilty over. So I titled this message, Guilt Free. And the idea is that we cannot live without guilt, but we can learn to live without inappropriate or false guilt. If the Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin, then that is an appropriate feeling of guilt, but it's not to push us away. Remember, it's always to restore and to reconcile. God is showing us our sin so that we can confess it and draw near to Him. He's not trying to push us away. If the Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers of sin, it's because He's not trying to push them away. He's trying to get them to accept Jesus as their Savior, as the one who can forgive them, who has paid the price for their sins, and He's drawing them to ourselves. Whenever I feel guilty about something and I'm pushing myself away from God, or I feel further from God, or I feel like maybe God is oppressing me or whatever, if I'm getting further away from God, that is false guilt. God is always drawing us to Himself, and the Holy Spirit is working to do that. He works to convict us of sin. He works to convict us of righteousness. And He works to convict us of the fact that Satan has already been judged, and we are not the judge. We leave that to God. And so He convicts us, and He convicts the world of all of these things. And we need to be sure that we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in conviction, proper conviction. And we need to understand that there is false guilt in the world, and we need to learn how to deal with that. I hope this has been helpful for you in understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in conviction and how we can avoid false guilt, but yet accept the true and right conviction in our lives of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you as you seek to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Holy Spirit that You've given us, and thank You for this passage that helps us to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. And sometimes we do get confused, Lord, about what is right and what is proper and what is wrong. And that's good. We need to know those things. But sometimes we get confused about the wrong type of things. We feel guilt for things we shouldn't feel guilt over. And we want to make that proper distinction, Lord, between false guilt and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Help us to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, help us to make that distinction in the proper conviction that You're placing on our lives through Your power and presence and through the Word of God. And may we learn to follow You and listen to You in all the things that You're leading us in. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.